From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Atlanta's Morehouse School of Medicine recently received the largest single gift in its 30-year history. Comedian Bill Cosby and his wife Camille gave $3 million to the historically black institution to be used for mental health research. Cosby presented the gift to the president of the medical school, Dr. David Satcher. The former surgeon general has long been recognized as a champion of better mental health services and research, and the doctor joins us today. Dr. Satcher, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.
We should note that the official title for the endowment is the Poussant Satcher Cosby Chair in Mental Health at the Morehouse School of Medicine. The Poussant speaks to Dr. Alvin Poussant, the psychiatrist and long-term associate of Dr. Cosby. Talk to me about the association of the three of you with this topic.
Well, I'm deeply honored to be associated with Al Poussant and the Cosbys, both Camille and Bill. As you pointed out, Al Poussant has been an outstanding child psychiatrist. He was consultant for the Cosby Show, which was so successful. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that Al Poussant was very sensitive to especially the needs of children and especially black children in viewing a show like this on prime time. So I'm delighted to be associated with him. And, of course, my association with the Cosbys go back to when I was president of Meharry, I think around 1988 when he did our commencement. And we awarded him an honorary degree. And then he later supported the Teenage Pregnancy Project there. Then when I was director of the CDC, he helped to develop the CDC Foundation. And then when I was Surgeon General, of course, he helped us to launch Healthy People 2010.
I know this will help, and Dr. Poussant has talked about this on this program and over the years, the idea of really dealing with mental health, in particular in the black community, which holds, even today, such a stigma that it has been problematic for those who suffer with it to really go forth and seek treatment.
Yes, it's very important. In fact, our three major goals in initiating this chair will be, one, to work to reduce the stigma that surrounds mental illness in the community. We believe that we can do a much better job of educating, communicating with the community about the fact that just as things go wrong with the heart, the lungs, the livers, and the kidneys, things go wrong with the brain. They always have, they always will. But it's time for us to treat them the same way, to diagnose problems early and treat them. Right now, as a country, we are more likely to dump our mental health problems on the streets of America or in the jails and prison. There are so many people in jails and prison, including the juvenile justice system, who wouldn't be there if they got the mental health care that they needed. The second goal, of course, relates to trying to better integrate the treatment of mental disorders into the general health system. I think a lot of people would be diagnosed much earlier if frontline primary care physicians, I mean pediatricians, general interns, family physicians, were better trained and motivated to diagnose mental health problems. So we're going to work very hard on that. We've already started. And thirdly, there's some policy issues that need to be dealt with, and I tried to point those out when I was Surgeon General. But we still discriminate against people with mental illness. We discriminate in terms of access to care. Some insurance companies don't cover it. Even Medicare discriminates against the treatment of mental disorder.
You mentioned this in the second goal, and it's interesting because we talk about the general population not really knowing enough about mental health, but the medical community doesn't always get it right. There are a lot of particularly African-American children who are misdiagnosed.
No question about it. Misdiagnosed and undiagnosed. And let me just say that because a lot of people refer to the attention deficit hyperactivity disorders, and it is true that there are children who get that diagnosis who don't have that disease. And so what I usually say to people is that not every child who's hyperactive and has trouble with his or her attention or has attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And what we need to do is make sure that we observe them in at least the setting of the home, the school, and the office. But those who do have it need treatment and can benefit tremendously. Because the other part of that story, of course, is that many children end up in a juvenile justice system who have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and wouldn't be there if they were diagnosed and treated. Judge Mathis, of course, tells that story very well because he was one of those persons. Judge Mathis ended up in prison and hadn't finished high school, and so happened he took the GED, and the judge saw his results and said, I'm going to give you a choice. You either go to college or go back to prison for 5 years. So if this guy had been diagnosed as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and treated earlier, I mean, he never would have ended up in the criminal justice system. Now, he was fortunate, but how many of other young black men are not that fortunate?
There are so many other preconditions that affect this situation, not only medical preconditions, but environmental preconditions as well.
Yeah, and there's no question about the fact that early childhood neglect and abuse, poverty in general, I think, clearly increases the risk for mental illness. And a situation like Hurricane Katrina, I can't think of a better example right now than Hurricane Katrina, where complete communities are destroyed. Children observe the destruction of their home, their communities, their schools, their neighborhood, sometimes their family members, and they end up somewhere else. That is a tremendous shock. That is a tremendous post-traumatic stress. And so post-traumatic stress disorder is very common in people who have been through that type of experience. Children who observe violence on the streets, and studies have been done of children or young children on the streets of Chicago who observe murder sometimes over and over again, those children suffer significantly later and are twice as likely to be victims or perpetrators of similar crimes. So you're right, something happens to the brain.
Yeah, we should note that along with your position there at the Morehouse School of Medicine, which you'll be stepping away from in July and going back to what you've been dealing with on a firsthand basis, and that is the restructuring of the public health system in the area where Hurricane Katrina has ravaged many states there. Talk to us about what you've seen and what you've found there.
Yeah, and I will be occupying the Cosby chair, of course, the Poussin Sacha Cosby chair. So I will be armed with new ammunition, if you will. I'm very pleased about that. But you're right. We have been working for the last year. We are, when I say we, the Morehouse School of Medicine is coordinating the rebuilding of the health infrastructure in the post-Hurricane Katrina area. And we are not talking about rebuilding it as it was, but rebuilding it as it should be. And for us, that includes electronic health records that cannot be washed away by hurricanes. That includes trying to make sure that every person has a medical home, has a primary care provider. So we're working very hard. Now, the problem we have right now is that so many physicians, over 60%, were also wiped out, left New Orleans or rural Alabama, rural Mississippi. And so trying to put that system back together is difficult, but I think we'll get there. We've had some interesting experiences, including the week-long health fair that we had about 2 months ago, where we were able to provide all of the patients who came through there with what we call thumb drives. They are small electronic records, and they feed into a central record system, in this case, the New Orleans Health Department.
And lest we think that this is not an issue that African-Americans should be concerned about, we are seeing growing numbers of problems for African-Americans on the mental health side, including increased suicide, particularly among African-American males.
Yeah, and you know, Al Poussaint wrote the book, Lay My Burden Down. He wrote it the year after I released the Surgeon General's report on suicide prevention. I released that report, I believe, in July of 99. And in late 2000, Al came out with the book, starting off by reflecting on the Surgeon General's report and then making the point that many African-American males commit suicide, but we don't call it that, and sometimes we don't realize that that's what it is. We call it death by cop, or in many cases just the drug use. And he cites his brother, whom he feels had a mental health problem, but he died of a drug overdose. And I think he's right. I think there are many young black men especially who, you know, who die in violence, if you will, die by police, die from drugs, but they are depressed and they're suicidal. But they don't commit suicide in the classical way that is done by others.
And we talk about the idea, and we've talked about this in many aspects and ways over the years, but the importance of a school like the Morehouse School of Medicine in preparing students to deal with issues like this, because as we know, African Americans in the medical field can and feel a close association to the problems that remain paramount in our community.
Yeah, you know, I struggle, you know, in leaving office, Ed, in terms of making a decision about where to go next, because I wanted to go somewhere where I wanted to, you know, spend the rest of my career. And I actually decided to come to the Morehouse School of Medicine for that very reason. Obviously, I could have gotten more resources, more support at some other places like Harvard or Stanford, and those are great institutions. But I do think that you're right. These institutions, the Morehouse School of Medicine, Meharry Medical College, Howard School of Medicine, and others, try to really target the problems that disproportionately impact African Americans, and to try to do it from a culturally sensitive perspective. And I just think that's so needed, and we need more physicians and psychologists and others, nurses, who are sensitive and trained to deal with the unique challenges of the African-American community. And that doesn't mean that you only treat African-Americans, because a lot of things that we learn from dealing with African-Americans apply to others. For example, Asian-Americans have a worse problem with stigma surrounding mental illness than African-Americans do. Mm-hmm. So when I wrote that report, Mental Health, Culture, Race, and Ethnicity, the Asian-American community responded aggressively by setting up programs using models that we had recommended in that report.
Well, Dr. David Satcher remains on the front line. He's the former United States Surgeon General and, for the moment, president of the Morehouse School of Medicine. Dr. Satcher, as always, good to talk to you, and thanks for joining us.
Well, same here, Ed. You take care.